as a musician, you see, I'm interested in creating newer textures and also constantly addressing qualities of the present and the past that appeal to me.
Muhal Richard Abrams was an American educator, administrator, composer, arranger, clarinetist, cellist, and pianist in the free jazz medium. His music is a bit out of the ordinary, something of an acquired taste. I'm Fred Macy, and this is The Jazz Scene, dedicated to the preservation, promotion, and appreciation of jazz, America's classical music. Muhal is mostly self-taught. At first, he took some formal music classes, but felt he wasn't getting much out of them because it wasn't what he was hearing in the street. His roots were actually in more traditional straight-ahead jazz, as well as classical music, believe it or not. In fact, Muhal's first gigs were playing the blues, R&B, and hard bop circuit in Chicago, working as a sideman with everyone from Dexter Gordon and Max Roach to Ruth Brown, Woody Shaw, and tenor saxophonist Eddie Harris. In 1962, he organized the Experimental Band, quite a contrast to his earlier hard bop venture, in its use of free jazz concepts. As a performer, Muhal Richard Abrams was able to spontaneously weave references to historical jazz styles, including ragtime, stride piano, the compositions of Duke Ellington, swing, and bebop, all together with his own brand of modernism to achieve far-reaching harmonies and a certain level of dissonance. As a composer, he represented a similarly wide range of styles and abilities. Steeped in bop and the blues, he also created works for chamber ensembles and orchestras, sometimes including a level of improvisation there as well. In other words, he did his own thing and had some pretty strong feelings about it.
Muhal Richard Abrams, you've been categorized as an experimental jazz musician, traditional yet experimental. You get your inspiration as a composer from where?
From music, life, music and life, and life includes other people, you know.
How do you describe your sound? In other words, if someone had never heard your work before, what could they expect to hear?
They'd have to just hear some music and determine for themselves, because it has to register with the listener. From my perspective, I'm dealing with history and the future in terms of how I focus as a musician. You see, I'm interested in creating newer textures, as far as that's possible by any one person, and also constantly addressing qualities of the present and the past that appeal to me. Inside of the music, there may be some familiar situations going on and some newer situations. And the appeal, according to the listener, could come, you know, in reference to any particular aspect of what they might hear in the music. So it's very important that the person listening define as to what it is to them.
Well put. Okay, that's what I was driving.
And not just something to dance by, you know, which dance music is all right too, you know.
Yeah, but it's a different style.
Yeah, it's
different
for
texture.
A different purpose.
Right.
Art projections, I think, requires as a necessity some form of concentration on the receiver.
Did you ever play more in the mainstream of what would be termed jazz and evolve to this, or is this something you set out to do, to create the type of music that you create? And I know you've got some formal training, but you're mostly a self-trained, self-made musician.
Truly. I've certainly played in the mainstream, but then the mainstream has not always been the same, you know. So the
mainstream, that's changing like life.
Well, I'm
yeah.
saying the mainstream at one point was strictly art music. And there was always the dance music, of course. But the mainstream of jazz, although the mainstream of jazz at one point was also quite danceable, according to the people who were listening to it then. I mean, they found that they could dance to it as well as, you know, concentrate in other ways.
You've played with some pretty heavy people, and many of them so-called mainstream musicians. How do they feel about playing your music? Is this like a release for them when they get to perform, if you would, differently? Or, you know, in other words, you commission them. Are they just doing a gig, or is this something they can get off on? Because it is a divergence from what they're usually playing.
Well, I don't know about that. Musicians tend to lend themselves freely to extending, you know, or abstraction, you know what I mean? Because
right.
It's really a necessary part of what they do when they, like jazz musicians, when they improvise, that's an abstraction right there.
Oh, absolutely.
You see, it's an extreme extraction. Actually, people are just used to it. But the thing is, musicians deal with music. I mean, the musicians I've been associated with, they deal with music. So as long as you can convey what you want in a scenario to the musicians, they usually don't have any problems.
Okay.
They just function as musicians.
Okay, so they're beautifully put. They're not out of their element or changing.
No, I don't think so. I mean, in the capacity of doing new music, I wouldn't be associated with musicians for performance of that music who weren't in accord with performing in that way.
I want to change the texture, if you would, of our conversation just a little bit. I understand you have some very interesting views on life and death, particularly on death.
There's the knowns and there's the unknowns. I sincerely believe that life, the real life, does not end.
There is a continuum.
Oh, sure. Sure, there has to be.
Yeah.
There's different planes of awareness. And when a person dies, it's just a change of planes of awareness.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. I can dig that. Let's get back to the mundane, which is not so mundane really, because I'm sure some of your projects are pretty exciting. What are you working on for the future? What are you doing that are your pet projects right now?
Pet projects. I'll tell you. I don't have any pet projects. What I do have, I have vision, of course.
Okay.
But my vision is to continue to expand my musical, my life possibilities, which would translate in terms of my profession into the music. Okay?
Yeah.
And it could manifest in many different ways. It all depends on the particular challenge, a project that is at hand. Challenges are constantly coming, so I don't really find myself in the position of being particular about any certain project.
You find you challenge yourself?
Yes, and then there's challenges coming all the time, you know, from different sources.
I got you.
You know, for me to, problems to solve, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
And so, I guess I'm saying I'm more or less busy with that.
I work about the same way. Let's talk about your upcoming concert on June the 7th. You've got some pretty heavy sidemen there, so to speak. Patience
Oh, yeah,
Higgins
some of the best.
And Alex Foster. Talk about that a little bit, would you?
Well, you said it in the beginning. There's some very, very fine musicians in this group. Well, they're handpicked, you know. Some of the world's finest, and certainly some of New York's finest.
Are they handpicked for the concert, or are these
they're
you guys usually
playing?
They're
handpicked for this band.
They are? Okay.
Yes. Yes, they're handpicked for this band.
As a pianist, composer, and educator, Mughal was known for his diverse, unclassifiable compositions and improvisations. When I first heard his music, I didn't know quite what to think about it. But the more I listened, concentrated, I realized that there are at least two ways his music was very much like jazz itself, or for that matter, classical. It isn't for just putting on in the background. It can even become distracting that way. As Muhal himself said, you need to focus on it. The other thing is finding your own personal tastes. You've probably had the same experience I have with people who say they don't like jazz. Well, there are so many kinds of jazz, so many different styles, tempos, and orchestrations. If someone likes music in the first place, they've got to be able to find something somewhere within the realm of jazz that suits their taste. I rediscovered that while screening the music for this jazz cast. There's good reason Muhal Richard Abrams has been critically acclaimed for the breadth, depth, and originality of his music. Say, I'd like to thank you for spending some time with us here at the Mark of Jazz, and I hope you've enjoyed our visit with Muhal Richard Abrams as much as I've enjoyed sharing it with you. If you'd like to hear something special, or you want to talk about the things you like best, well, just leave me a comment either here at the Jazz Scene or on the website itself, markofjazz.com. Until next time, let me remind you of some sage advice from Miles Davis himself. Don't play what's there, play what's not there.